beaten path. The ride was jerky and harsh, and yet, Cinder felt a surge of power with every turn of the wheel, press of the accelerator, rattle of the stick shift, screech of the rubber. A warm breeze blew through the missing back window, tussling Cinder's hair. The clouds had reached the city and hung threateningly above the skyscrapers, casting the evening in a gray shroud. Toward the other horizon, the sky was still wide open and proudly displaying the 9th full moon of the year. A perfect sphere in the blackened sky, a white, ominous eye transfixed upon her. Ignoring it, Cinder floored the accelerator, pushing the car to go faster, to fly. And it flew. Not smoothly or gracefully like a hover, but with all the roar and power of a proud beast. She couldn't help a grin, knowing that she had done this. She had brought this monstrosity back to life. It owed her now, and it seemed to know it. She would have made it, she thought, as the palace came into view, towering over the city atop its jagged cliff. She would have been nearing the city limits by now. Picking up speed, watching the lights blur past, racing for the horizon and never looking back. A splatter of rain hit the cracked windshield. Cinder gripped the steering wheel tighter as she started up the twisting, winding drive to the palace entrance. There were no hovers to compete with. She would be the last guest to arrive. She crested the hill, reveling in the rush of escape, of freedom, of power. And then the torrent began. Rain drenched the car, blurring the palace's lights. The sound pounded against the metal and glass. Without headlights, the world disappeared beyond the windshield. Cinder jammed her foot into the brake pedal. Nothing happened. Panic surged through her, and she desperately pumped the stiff brake. A shadow loomed against the storm. Cinder screamed and covered her face. The car collided with a cherry blossom tree, rocking Cinder with a jolt. Metal crunched around her. The engine sputtered and died. The seatbelt burned across her chest. Shaking, Cinder gaped at the storm that surged against the windshield. Wet, maroon-colored leaves fell from the overhead branches, sticking to the glass. She reminded herself to breathe as adrenaline coursed through her veins. Her control panel's recommended course of action: take slow, measured breaths. But the breaths choked her as much as the seatbelt did, until she reached a trembling hand toward the latch and peeled it off her. A leak revealed itself along the weather stripping of her door's window, dripping down onto her shoulder. Cinder fell back against the headrest, wondering if she had the strength to walk. Maybe if she just waited out the monsoon. Summer storms like this never lasted long. It would be a drizzle in a blink. She held up her sodden gloves and wondered what exactly she was waiting for. Not pride, not respectability. Being soaked could almost be an improvement at this point. Gasping for a full breath, she pulled at the door handle and kicked with her booted foot to force it open. She stepped out into a downpour, the rain cool and refreshing on her skin. Slamming the door shut, she turned to survey the damage, pushing her hair back off her forehead. The front end of the car was crumpled around the tree's trunk. The hood folded like an accordion to the passenger side fender. Her heart broke a little as she looked at the wreckage, all her hard work, destroyed so quickly. And, the thought occurring a second later, there was her chance for escape. Gone. Shivering in the rain, she shoved the thoughts aside. There would be other cars. Right now, she had to find Kai. Suddenly, the rain stopped pounding down on her. She glanced up at the umbrella overhead, then turned around. A greeter was staring at the car wreck with round eyes, his hands gripping the umbrella handle. "Oh, hi," she stammered. The man's disbelieving stare found its way to her. Her hair, her dress. He looked more repulsed by the second. Cinder snatched the umbrella from him and flashed a smile. "Thanks," she said, and dashed across the courtyard into the yawning double doors of the palace, dropping the umbrella at the stairs. Guards dressed in crimson uniforms lined the corridor, directing guests away from the elevator dock and toward the ballroom in the south wing. as if the clinking glasses and orchestral music weren't clear enough. The walk to the ballroom entrance was long and tedious. Cinder didn't know if the guards let their stoic gazes land on her as she passed by, wet boots squishing, and she dared not meet their eyes if they did. All her focus was busy being directed down her wiring into her lump of a foot. Be graceful. Be graceful. Be graceful. The music grew louder. The hall was ornamented with dozens of ornate stone statues, gods and goddesses long forgotten, hidden cameras, disguised ID scanners. She felt a spark of paranoia, remembering that she still carried Peony's ID chip stashed away in her leg compartment. She imagined alarms blaring and lights flashing when they realized that she had two ID chips inside her, which would be suspicious if not outright illegal. But nothing happened. Emerging from the hallway, she found herself at the top of a grand staircase that cascaded into the ballroom. A row of guards and servants flanked the stairs, their faces as unreadable as those in the hall. The high ceiling had been hung with hundreds of crimson paper lanterns, each one glimmering with rich golden light. The far wall was lined with floor-to-ceiling windows that overlooked the gardens. Rain pummeled the glass, almost louder than the orchestra. The dance floor had been set up in the center, with round tables surrounding the space. Each table was bedecked with lavish orchid centerpieces and jade sculptures. The walls of the room were lined with folding silk screens hand-painted with designs of cranes and tortoises and bamboo, ancient symbols of longevity that hinted at a single defining message. Long live the Emperor. From her vantage point, she could see the entire room, thriving with vibrant silks and crinolines, rhinestones and ostrich plumes. She sought out Kai. He wasn't hard to find. Dancing. The crowd parted for him and his partner, the most beautiful, most graceful, most divine woman in the room, the Lunar Queen. Cinder couldn't stifle a gasp of bewilderment at the sight of her. Her stomach flipped, the momentary awe turning to revulsion. The queen held a poised smile, but Kai's expression was as unfeeling as stone as they waltzed across the marble floor. Cinder stepped back from the stairs before the queen noticed her. She scanned the crowd, convinced that Kai had not made his announcement yet, or the atmosphere in the room wouldn't be so jolly. Kai was fine. He was safe. All she had to do was find a way to speak with him, somewhere private, and tell him the queen's plans. Tell him the queen knew about his search for her niece. Then it would be up to him to put off accepting the queen's terms until... Well, Cinder knew nothing could put Queen Lavanna off forever without convincing her to start the war she'd been threatening for so long. But maybe, just maybe, Princess Selene could be found before that happened. Letting out a slow breath, Cinder stepped out of the massive doorway and ducked behind the nearest pillar, stumbling on her tiny foot. Gritting her teeth, she glanced around, but the nearby guards and servants remained as disinterested as a concrete wall. Cinder plastered herself against the column, trying to smooth back her hair so she could at least pretend to be fitting in. The music ceased, and the crowd began to applaud. She dared to peer down at the dance floor and saw Kai and Lavanna parting ways, he with a stiff bow and she with the grace of a geisha. As the orchestra started again, the entire ballroom joined in the dancing. Cinder followed the queen's glossy brunette curls heading toward a staircase on the other side of the room, the crowd parting eagerly before her. She scanned for Kai again and found him heading in the opposite direction, toward her. Holding her breath, she inched away from the protective column. This was her chance. If only he would look up and see her. If only he would come to her. She could tell him everything and then slip away into the night, and no one would ever have to know she'd been there at all. She bunched the silver gown up in her fists, her eyes boring holes into the Emperor's head, willing him to look up. Look up. Look up. Kai froze with a look of mild perplexity, and Cinder thought with a jolt that she'd succeeded. Had she just used her lunar gift? But then, she noticed a spot of gold beside Kai, a frilly sleeve brushing his arm. Her breath caught. It was Pearl, brushing her fingertips against Kai's elbow. She was full of dazzling smiles and fluttering lashes as she dipped into a curtsy. Stomach clenching, Cinder sank back against the pillar. Pearl started to talk, and Cinder monitored Kai's expressions as her pulse pounded in her ears. At first, he only attempted a weary smile, but soon there was confusion, surprise, an uncertain frown. She tried to guess what Pearl was saying.
Yes, I am the girl from the festival this morning. No, Cinder is not coming. We wouldn't disrespect this momentous occasion by allowing my ugly cyborg stepsister to attend. Oh, didn't you know she's cyborg?
Cinder shuddered, her eyes glued to the two of them. Pearl was going to tell Kai everything, and there was nothing she could do but watch and wait for the horrible moment when Kai realized he'd been flirting with a cyborg. He would want nothing more to do with her. He wouldn't want to hear her excuses. She would be forced to stumble after him, to tell him the reason she'd come, feeling like the disgrace she was. Someone cleared his throat, and Cinder jumped out of her growing anxiety, nearly twisting her ankle. One of the servants had evidently gotten tired of standing motionless and impartial, and was now looking her over with barely veiled revulsion.
"I beg your pardon," he said, with a tightness to his voice. "I must scan your ID."
Cinder instinctively pulled her hand away from him, pressing her wrist against her stomach. "Why?" His eyes darted to the row of guards, ready to call on them to have her escorted out at any moment.
"To ensure you're on the guest list, of course," he said, holding up a small handheld scanner.
Cinder pressed her back into the pillar, nerves humming.
"But I thought every citizen in the city was invited."
"Indeed they are,"
the man grinned, looking almost gleeful at the prospect of disinviting the girl before him.
"But we must ensure that we are receiving those who responded to their invitations. It's a security measure."
Gulping, Cinder glanced out toward the dance floor. Kai was still being hounded by Pearl, and now Cinder could see Audrey hovering not far off, looking primed to jump into the conversation should Pearl say anything to embarrass her. Pearl had not dropped her shy, flirtatious charm. She stood with one head bowed and one hand gingerly pressed against her collarbone. Kai still looked perplexed. Goosebumps racing up her arms, Cinder turned back to the courtier and attempted to channel Peony's cheerful innocence.
"Of course," she said.
Holding her breath, she stretched out her arm. She was concocting a number of excuses, justifications. Her RSVP must have gotten mixed up with someone else's, or perhaps there was confusion, as her stepmother and sister had already arrived without her, or...
"Ah!"
The man jolted, his eyes staring at the small screen. Cinder tensed, wondering what her chances were of knocking him out with a quick blow to the head without any of those guards noticing. His bewildered eyes took another turn over her dress, her hair, and then returned to his screen. She could see the internal struggle as his smile slowly turned up, attempting politeness.
"Why, Lin Mei, what a pleasure. We are so glad you could join us tonight."
Her eyebrows shot up.
"You are?"
The man gave her a stiff bow.
"Please forgive my ignorance. I'm sure His Imperial Majesty will be glad you've arrived. Please, step this way, and I will have you announced."
She blinked, dumbly following his arm as he stepped toward the stairs.
"Have me what?"
He tapped something into his port screen before glancing back at Cinder. His gaze swooped over her again, as if he couldn't believe what he was about to do, but his polite smile didn't fade.
"All personal guests of His Imperial Majesty are duly announced, as recognition of their import. Of course, they don't usually arrive so... late." "Wait, personal guests of... oh. Oh, no, you don't have to..."
She was silenced by the blare of recorded trumpets through invisible overhead speakers. She ducked at the sound, eyes widening, as the short melody faded. At the last trill of the horns, a majestic voice boomed through the ballroom.
Please welcome to the 126th Annual Ball of the Eastern Commonwealth a personal guest of His Imperial Majesty, Lin Cinder of New Beijing.
Chapter 34. The ballroom temperature spiked as hundreds of faces turned toward Cinder. Perhaps the crowd would have turned away a moment later, indifferent, if they hadn't found the Emperor's personal guest to be a girl with damp hair and mud splatters on the hem of her wrinkled silver dress. As it was, the gazes halted, pinning Cinder to the top of the stairs, her mismatched feet stuck to the landing as if concrete had hardened around them. She looked at Kai, his jaw hanging as he took her in. He'd expected her to come the entire time. He'd reserved a spot for her as his personal guest. She could only imagine how he was regretting that decision now. Beside him, Pearl's face had begun to burn beneath the glowing chandeliers. Cinder looked at her stepsister, at Audrey, took in their speechless mortification, and reminded herself to breathe. It was already over for her. Pearl had almost certainly told Kai that she was Cyborg. Soon, Queen Lavanna would see her too, and know she was Lunar. She would be taken, maybe killed. There was nothing she could do about it now. But she had taken the risk. She had made the decision to come. It would not go to waste. She squared her shoulders, lifted her chin. Gathering up the full silk skirt, she fixed her gaze on Kai and made her way slowly down the steps. His eyes softened into something almost like amusement, as if such a ragged appearance was all one could expect from a renowned mechanic. A murmur rippled through the crowd, and as the heel of Cinder's boot hit the marble floor with forced precision, the sea of gowns began to shuffle aside. Women whispered behind their hands, men craned their necks to catch the hushed gossip. Even the servants had stopped to watch her, holding trays of delicacies aloft. The scent of garlic and ginger clouded around them, twisting Cinder's stomach into knots. She realized suddenly how famished she was. All the preparations for running away had left little time for eating. Coupled with her anxiety, it almost made her feel faint. She did her best to ignore it, to be strong, but nervousness was expanding through her taut muscles with every step. Her pulse was a drumbeat inside her head. Every eye swept over her, mocking her. Every head turned to whisper, rumors already taking flight. Cinder's ears rang, picking snatches of conversation.
A personal guest? But who is she? And what is that stuff on her dress?
Until Cinder adjusted the audio interface, silencing the words. Never in her life had she been so glad she could not blush. Kai's lips twitched, and though he still looked baffled, he did not look angry or disgusted. Cinder gulped. As she got nearer, her arms burned to wrap around herself, to cover her filthy, wrinkled, water-stained dress as best she could. But she didn't allow them. It would have been futile, and Kai didn't care about her dress. If anything, he was probably trying to discern how much of her was metal and silicon. She kept her head high, even as her eyes stung, even as panic filled her vision with warnings and precautions. It was not her fault he had liked her. It was not her fault she was Cyborg. She would not apologize. She focused only on walking, one thudding step after another, as the crowd parted before her, then closed again in her wake. But before she reached the Emperor, a figure pushed out of the crowd and into her path. Cinder froze, halted by the seething glare of her stepmother. She blinked, dumbfounded, as reality stumbled in on the still, silent moment. She'd forgotten that Audrey and Pearl were there. Blotchy, red cheeks showed through Audrey's translucent white makeup, and her chest was heaving beneath the modest neckline of her kimono. The confused, tittering hushed, pushing the questions toward those in the back of the crowd who couldn't see what was happening but could no doubt feel the tension expanding around them. Audrey's hand snatched forward, capturing Cinder's skirt in her fist. She shook the material.
"Where did you get this?"
she hissed, her voice low as if she were afraid of causing more of a scene than Cinder already had. Setting her jaw, Cinder stepped back, whipping the dress away from her stepmother.
"Iko saved the dress. Peony would have wanted me to have it."
Behind her mother, Pearl gasped, her hands flying to her mouth. Cinder glanced at her and found Pearl looking down at her feet with horror. Cinder shuddered, imagining her cyborg leg visible for all to see, until Pearl pointed at her feet and shrieked,
"My boots! Those are my boots! On her!"
Audrey's eyes narrowed.
"You little thief! How dare you come here and make a mockery of this family?"
She jutted her finger over Cinder's shoulder toward the grand staircase.
"I command you to go home this instant before you embarrass me further."
"No," she said, clenching her fists.
"I have as much right to be here as you do."
"What?
You?"
Audrey's voice started to rise.
"But you're nothing but a—"
She caught her tongue, even now unwilling to share the mortifying secret about her stepdaughter. Instead, she raised her hand over her shoulder, palm flat. The crowd gasped and Cinder flinched, but the strike did not come. Kai stood beside her stepmother, one hand firmly wrapped around Audrey's wrist. Audrey turned to him, her face burning with anger, but the look quickly fell away. She shriveled back, stammering.
"Your Majesty!"
"That is enough," he said, his voice gentle but stern, and released her. Audrey shrank into a pathetic curtsy, head bobbing.
"I am so sorry, Your Majesty. My emotions, my temper, this girl is... I am sorry she has interrupted. She is my ward. She should not be here."
"Of course she should." There was a lightness to his words, as if he believed his presence alone could dissolve Audrey's hostility. He fixed his gaze on Cinder. "She is my personal guest." He glanced around over the heads of the shocked audience, toward the stage where the symphony had gone silent. "This is a night for celebration and amusement," he said loudly. "Please let the dancing resume." The band started, shakily at first, until music again filled the ballroom. Cinder could not recall when it had died out, but her hearing was still dulled to the swarming noise around her. Kai was looking at her again. She gulped and found that she was shaking, with anger and terror and nerves and the sensation of being captured by his brown eyes. Her mind was blank, not sure if she wanted to thank him or turn away and keep yelling at her stepmother. But he didn't give her a chance to do either. Kai reached forward and took her hand, and before she realized what was happening, he had plucked her away from her stepmother and stepsister and taken her into his arms. They were dancing. Heart hammering, Cinder pried her gaze away from him and looked over his shoulder. They were the only ones dancing. Kai must have noticed it too, for he floated his hand briefly away from her waist, gesturing to the gawking crowd, and said in a tone that was part encouragement, part command, "Please, you are my guests. Enjoy the music." Awkwardly, those nearby traded glances with their own partners, and soon the floor was filling with bustled skirts and coattails. Cinder risked glancing toward where they had abandoned Audrey and Pearl. They were both standing still amid the shuffling crowd, watching as Kai expertly guided Cinder farther and farther away from them. Clearing his throat, Kai murmured,
"You have no idea how to dance, do you?"
Cinder fixed her gaze on him, mind still reeling.
"I'm a mechanic."
His eyebrows raised mockingly.
"Believe me, I noticed. Are those grease stains on the gloves I gave you?"
Mortified, she glanced at their intertwined fingers and the black smudges on the white silk gloves. Before she could apologize, she felt herself being gently pushed away and spun beneath his arm. She gasped, for a moment feeling light as a butterfly, before she stumbled on her undersized cyborg foot and fell back into his embrace. Kai grinned, coaxing her back to arm's length, but he didn't tease her.
"So, that's your stepmother." Legal guardian. Right, my mistake. She seems like a real treasure.
Cinder scoffed, and her body started to ease. Without sensation in her foot, it felt like trying to dance with a ball of iron soldered to her ankle. Her leg was beginning to ache from carrying it, but she resisted the urge to limp, picturing ever-graceful Pearl in her ball gown and heels, and wished her body into conformity. At least her body seemed to be memorizing the pattern of the dance steps, making each movement slightly more fluid than the last, until she almost felt as if she knew what she were doing. Of course, the tender pressure of Kai's hand on her waist didn't hurt.
"I'm sorry about that," she said. "About her and my stepsister. Can you believe they think I'm the embarrassment?"
She made it sound like a joke, but she couldn't help analyzing his response, bracing for that moment when he asked her if it were true. If she really were Cyborg. Then, as his smile started to crumble, she realized the moment had come far too soon, and she desperately wished she could take the comment back. She wished they could go on pretending forever that her secret was still safe, that he still did not know. That he still wanted her to be his personal guest.
"Why didn't you tell me?"
Kai said, his voice lowering even though the noise of laughter and tapping heels had filled the air around them. Cinder opened her mouth, but her words snagged in her throat. She wanted to refute Pearl's claim, to call her a liar. But what would that get her? More lies, more betrayal. The fingers of her metal hand tightened on his shoulder, the hard, unforgiving confines of the limb. He didn't flinch, just waited. She wanted to feel relief now that they had no more secrets. But that wasn't entirely true, either. He still didn't know she was Lunar. She opened her mouth again, unsure what she was going to say, until the faint words came to her.
"I didn't know how."
Kai's eyes softened, little wrinkles forming in their corners.
"I would have understood," he said.
Almost imperceptibly, he inched closer, and Cinder found her elbow crawling up his shoulder in a way that felt impossibly natural. Still, he did not back away, did not shudder or tense.
He knew, but he wasn't disgusted? He would still touch her? Somehow, unbelievably, he still even, maybe, liked her?
She felt she would have cried if it had been an option. Her fingertips tentatively curled around the hair at the back of his neck, and she found that she was shaking, sure he would push her away at any moment. But he didn't. He did not pull away, did not grimace. His lips parted, just barely, and Cinder wondered if maybe she wasn't the only one having trouble breathing.
"It's just," she started, running her tongue across her lips. "It isn't something I like to talk about. I haven't told anyone who
didn't know her?" Cinder's words evaporated.
"Her?"
Fingers stiffening, she eased them out of his hair and settled her palm back on his shoulder. The intensity in his gaze melted into sympathy.
"I understand why you didn't say anything, but now I feel so selfish."
His jaw flexed, his brow turned up with guilt.
"I know I should have guessed after you told me she was sick to begin with, but with the coronation and Queen Lavanna's visit and the ball, I guess I forgot. I know that makes me the biggest jerk in the world, and I should have realized that your sister had... and why you were ignoring my comms. It makes sense now."
He drew her closer until she could almost lay her head on his shoulder, but she didn't. Her body had gone rigid again, the dance steps forgotten.
"I just wish you would have told me."
Her gaze shifted over his shoulder, focusing on nothing.
"I know," she murmured. "I should have told you."
She felt as though all her synthetic parts were squeezing together, crushing her inside. Kai didn't know. And yet, to have felt the comforting presence of acceptance, only to be confined by secrecy again, was even more unbearable than lying to him to begin with.
"Kai," she said, shaking herself from the misery that threatened her.
She pushed back to arm's length,
returning them to the acceptable distance of strangers, or of a mechanic dancing with her emperor. For the first time, Kai missed a dance step, eyes blinking in surprise. She ignored the guilt scratching at her throat.
I came here to tell you something. It's important. She glanced around, ensuring that no one could hear them.
Though she caught a few jealous scowls targeting her, no one was close enough to hear over the music, and the Lunar Queen was nowhere to be seen.
Listen, you can't marry Lavanna, no matter what she wants, no matter what she threatens.
Kai flushed at the Queen's name.
What do you mean? She doesn't just want the Commonwealth. She's going to start a war with Earth, either way. It's just that being Empress here will pave the way for her.
It was his turn to look around, simultaneously molding his look of panic into cool indifference, though up close, Cinder could see the worry in his eyes.
And there's more. She does know about Nancy, about what Nancy found out. She knows you were trying to find Princess Selene, and she's taken the information you found and is hunting her down now. She has people out looking for her, if they haven't found her already.
Eyes widening, Kai looked back at her.
And you know, she continued, not allowing him to interrupt, you know that she won't forgive you for trying to find the princess.
She gulped.
Kai, as soon as you marry her, and she has what she wants, she's going to kill you.
The color drained from his face.
How do you know all this?
She took in a deep breath, somehow exhausted from getting all the information out, as if she'd only reserved enough energy to bring her to this moment.
The DCOM chip I found in Nancy. There was this girl, its programmer. Ugh, it's complicated.
She hesitated, thinking she should give the chip to Kai while she had the chance. He may be able to get more information out of the girl, except in her hurry to leave for the ball, she'd stashed it in her calf compartment. Her gut sank. To retrieve it now would be to reveal herself to Kai and everyone around her. She gulped, shoving aside the rising distress. Was saving her own pride more important to her?
Is there somewhere we can go? She asked. Away from the crowd? I'll tell you everything.
He glanced around. In their dancing, they had traveled almost the entire length of the ballroom, and now they stood before a set of massive doors that opened out onto the royal gardens. Beyond the steps, a willow tree was weeping from the heavy rain, a koi pond nearly overflowing. The pummeling of the storm came in waves, almost drowning out the noise of the orchestra.
The gardens? He said,
but before he could move, a shadow fell across them. Glancing up, Cinder saw the unhappy expression of a royal official, looking at Kai with lips so tight they started to go white. He did not acknowledge Cinder.
Your Majesty, he said, his face drawn. It is time.
Chapter 35. Cinder looked up at the man, her link to the net database informing her that he was Khan Torin, royal advisor.
Time? She said, turning back to Kai.
Time for what?
Kai stared at her, part apologetic, part afraid. Her gut twisted. Time to seal the fate of the Eastern Commonwealth.
No, she hissed. Kai, you can't!
Your Majesty, said Khan Torin, still without deigning to meet Cinder's eye. I have allowed you your freedom, but it is time to put an end to this. You are embarrassing yourself.
Kai let his gaze fall before shutting his eyes altogether. He rubbed at his brow.
Just a moment. I need a moment to think.
We do not have a moment. We have been over this time and again.
There's new information, Kai said, his tone harsh.
Khan Torin's face darkened, and he cast a suspicious glare at Cinder. She shivered at the disapproving frown. For once, this was hatred directed at her not because she was a cyborg, but because she was a normal girl, unworthy of the attention of the Emperor. For once, she couldn't disagree. If the understanding showed on her face, the advisor ignored it.
Your Majesty, with all due respect, you no longer have the luxury of being a lovesick teenager. You have a duty to fulfill to your people now.
Dropping his hand, Kai met Khan Torin's gaze, his eyes hollow. I know, he said. I will do what is best for them. Cinder gathered up the material of her skirt in both hands, hope stirring inside of her. He understood her warnings. He understood the mistake he would be making if he agreed to marry Lavanna. She had succeeded. But then, he turned toward her, and the hope shattered at seeing the helplessness etched in deep lines across his brow.
Thank you for warning me, Cinder. At least I won't be going into this blindly.
She shook her head.
Kai, you can't!
I don't have a choice. She has an army that could destroy us. An antidote that we need. I have to take my chances. Cinder stumbled back, as if his words had landed the blow that he had protected her from before. He was going to marry Queen Lavanna. Queen Lavanna would be Empress.
I'm sorry, Cinder.
He looked as crushed as Cinder felt, and yet, while her body became heavy and immovable, Kai somehow found the strength to turn away with head lifted and start walking toward the platform at the far end of the ballroom, where he would announce his decision to those who had gathered. She searched her brain for anything she could do to change his mind. But what else was there? He knew Lavanna would still start a war. He knew Lavanna would probably try to kill him after the wedding. He probably knew about more cruel and evil deeds she'd committed than Cinder did, and none of it made a difference. Somehow, he was still naive enough to think that more good than bad could come from the Union. He would not stop it from happening. The only other person who had the power to stop the marriage alliance was the Queen herself. A fist clenched over Cinder's heart. Before she knew what she was doing, she was storming after Kai. She grabbed his elbow and spun him back around to face her. Without hesitating, Cinder wrapped her arms around his neck and kissed him. Kai froze, his body as tense as an android's against her, but his lips were soft and warm. Though Cinder had intended for it to be a short kiss, she found herself lingering. Hot tingles coursed through her body, surprising and scary but not unpleasant, surging like electricity through her wires. This time, they did not overwhelm her. This time, they did not threaten to burn her from the inside out. The desperation melted, and for the briefest of moments, the ulterior motives were gone. She found herself kissing him for no other reason than she wanted to. She wanted him to know that she wanted to. She didn't realize how badly she wanted Kai to kiss her back until it became quite clear that he wouldn't. Cinder pried herself away. Her hands lingered on his shoulders, still shaking from the raw energy inside her. Kai gaped at her, lips left hanging open. And though Cinder's gut reaction was to back away and apologize profusely, she swallowed it down. Perhaps, she said, testing her voice before raising it loud enough that she was sure the crowd would hear her. Perhaps the Queen will not accept your proposal once she finds out you're already in love with me. Kai's eyebrows rose higher. What? Beside him, the advisor took in a hissing breath, and a series of gasps and rustles passed through the crowd. It occurred to Cinder that the music had stopped again, as the musicians stood and tried to get a look at what was happening. A burst of jovial, tittering laughter split through the awkwardness. The sound, though, filled with the sweetness of a child's giggle, sent a chill down Cinder's spine. Pulling her hands away from Kai's neck, she slowly turned. The crowd followed the noise as well, swiveling in unison like puppets on strings. And there was Queen Lavanna. She was leaning against one of the columns that flanked the doorway to the gardens, holding a goblet of gold wine in one hand and pressing the fingers of the other against her smiling red lips. Her figure was perfection. Her posture could not have been more poised had she been carved from the same stone as the pillar. She wore a royal blue dress that shimmered with what were probably diamonds, yet gave the very distinct impression of stars in an endless summer sky. The orange light blinked beside Cinder's vision. The Queen's glamour. The endless lie.
In addition to the queen, a lunar guard stood just within the doorway, stark red hair swept up from his brow like a candle flame. A man and a woman, dressed in the distinctive uniforms of royal thaumaturges, also lingered nearby, awaiting their mistress's order. Every one of them was strikingly beautiful and, unlike their queen, their beauty didn't seem to be an illusion. Cinder wondered if that was a requirement for serving the lunar throne, or if she just happened to be the only lunar in the galaxy who hadn't been born with brilliant eyes and flawless skin.
"How charmingly naive," said the queen, followed by another spill of laughter.
"You must misunderstand my culture. On Luna, we consider monogamy to be nothing more than an archaic sentimentality. What do I care if my husband-to-be is in love with another?" She paused, her dark eyes sweeping over Cinder's dress.
"Woman?"
Terror wrapped around Cinder's throat as the queen's eyes seemed to pierce right through her. The queen knew she was lunar. She could tell.
"What does concern me," continued Queen Levana, her voice a sweet lullaby that sharpened with her next words, "is that it appears my betrothed has fallen in love with an insignificant shell. Am I mistaken?"
The thaumaturges nodded in agreement, their eyes fixed on Cinder.
"She certainly has the smell of one," said the woman.
Cinder wrinkled her nose. According to Dr. Erland, she wasn't actually a shell, and she wondered if the woman was making that insult up to mock her. Or maybe she was smelling the gasoline fumes from the car. Suddenly, her netlink recognized the woman, and Cinder forgot about the affront. She was the diplomat who had been in New Beijing for weeks, whose picture had been all over the news feeds, though she'd never paid her much attention. Sybil Mira, head thaumaturge to the Lunar Queen.
"Mistress Sybil," the girl had said over the decom chip. This was the woman who had forced her to make the spy equipment, who had put the chip in Nancy.
Cinder tried to relax, surprised that her control panel hadn't short-circuited with all the adrenaline coursing through her veins. What she wouldn't have given for a weapon, even a measly screwdriver to protect herself with. Anything other than this useless foot and slight silk gloves. Kai abandoned Cinder, marching toward the queen.
"Your Majesty, I apologize for this disruption," he said, Cinder only catching his words as she adjusted her audio interface. "But we need not make a scene in front of my guests."
The queen's charcoal eyes flashed with the warm ballroom light.
"It seems you're perfectly capable of making a scene without my help."
Her smile turned to a playful pout.
"Oh dear, it seems that I'm more hurt than I thought I was by your fickleness. I believed I was to be your personal guest tonight."
Again, her eyes caressed Cinder's face.
"You can't think her prettier than me."
She reached out a fingernail and traced it along Kai's jaw.
"My dear, are you blushing?"
Kai slapped Lavanna's hand away. But before he could respond, she turned towards Cinder and her expression filled with disgust.
"What is your name, child?"
Cinder downed a painful gulp, barely forcing her name from her throat. "Cinder."
"Cinder,"
a condescending laugh.
"How fitting. Ashes, dirt, filth."
"That's enough," started Kai, but Levana breezed past him, the sparkling dress swaying over her hips. She held her wine glass aloft, as if prepared to compliment the prince on such a pleasant dinner party.
"Tell me, Cinder," she said, "what poor sapling earthen did you steal that name from?"
Cinder's hand went to her wrist and gripped the silk glove and flesh that concealed her ID chip, barely sore from the small incision she'd made earlier. A weight settled in the pit of her stomach. The queen sniffed.
"You shells," she said, her voice rising for the crowd. "You think you're so clever. You stole a chip from a dead earthen's wrist. So you managed to slip into the government system.
So you think you can pass as human, that you can exist here without any repercussions? You are fools!
Cinder clenched her jaw. She wanted to explain that she had no memory of being anything but Earthen, anything but cyborg. But who would she be pleading her case to?
Certainly not the Queen. And Kai.
Kai, who was tossing glances between her and the Queen, trying to fit the puzzle pieces of Lavanna's words together in his head. The Queen turned back to the Emperor.
Not only harboring Lunars, but also cavorting with them.
I am disappointed in you, Your Majesty, she clucked her tongue.
The fact that this girl lives within your borders proves that you are in violation of the Interplanetary Agreement. I take the blatant disregard of such a statute quite seriously, Emperor Kaito. In fact, it could warrant a call to war. I insist that this traitor be taken into captivity and returned to Luna immediately. Jason?
A second Lunar guard stepped out of the crowd, equally handsome to the others, with long blonde hair and serious ice blue eyes. Without warning, he grasped Cinder's wrists, pinning them behind her. She gasped, her gaze flying wildly toward the gathered audience as alarmed cries rippled through it.
Stop!
Kai rushed toward Cinder and grabbed her elbow. He tugged her toward him, and she stumbled, but the guard did not loosen his grip.
The guard pulled Cinder back again, and her arm, made slippery by the silk gloves, was torn from Kai's grip. She found herself plastered against the Lunar.
His chest was solid behind her, and a faint hum buzzed in her head, like static electricity in her hair.
Magic, she realized. Bioelectricity humming inside him. Could everyone hear it from so close, or was this another sign of her awakening gift? Let her go, Kai said, appealing to the Queen. This is absurd. She isn't a fugitive. She isn't even Lunar. She's just a mechanic.
Lavanna quirked one slender eyebrow. Her glittering eyes surpassed Kai, staring into Cinder with a gaze both beautiful and cruel. Warmth was building in Cinder's spine, steady and growing hot. She feared a meltdown. The pain would come, and she would collapse and be useless.
Well, Cinder, said Queen Lavanna, swirling the pale wine, it seems you've been keeping secrets from your royal superiors. Do you wish to refute my claim?
Kai turned to her, and she could sense his desperation, even if she couldn't look at him. She focused only on the Queen, her jaw aching with hatred. She was glad that no tears would betray her humiliation, glad that no blood in her cheeks would betray her anger, glad that her hateful cyborg body was good for one thing as she clutched onto her shredded dignity. She leveled her glare at the Queen. Her retina display began to panic, noting her increased level of adrenaline, her racing pulse. Warnings were flashing before her, but she ignored them, surprisingly calm.
If I had not been brought to Earth, she said, I would be a slave under your rule. I will not apologize for escaping.
In the corner of her gaze, she saw Kai's face fall, eyes widening as the truth became undeniable. He had been courting a Lunar.
A cry rang out from the trembling crowd, a round of gasps, a soft thud. Audrey had fainted.
Gulping, Cinder squared her shoulders.
I want no apologies, said Lavanna, flashing a wicked smile. I only want to see the wrongs of your life righted, swiftly and surely.
You want to see me dead.
How bright she is. Yes, I do, and not just you, but all those like you. You shells are a threat to society, a danger to our ideal culture.
Because you can't brainwash us into worshipping you like everybody else?
The Queen's lips tightened, hardening like plaster on her face. Her voice fell, chilling the room. A sudden burst of rain behind her shook the windows.
It is not only for my people, but for all Earthens as well.
You shells are a plague.
She paused, a lightness returning to her eyes, as if she might laugh.
Quite literally, it seems.
My queen, said the dark-haired woman, refers to your so-called blue fever that has wreaked such havoc on your citizens, and, of course, your own royal family. May Emperor Raikon rest in—
What does that have to do with anything? Said Kai.
The woman tucked her hands into the bell-shaped sleeves of her ivory coat.
Hadn't your brilliant scientists drawn that conclusion yet? Many ungifted lunars are carriers of Letemosis. They brought it to Earth. They continue to spread it, without concern, it seems, for the lives they are taking.
Cinder shook her head.
No, she said.
Kai turned to her, unconsciously taking a step away. She shook her head more harshly.
They don't know they're doing it. How could they? And of course the scientists have figured it out. But what can they do, other than try to find a cure?
The queen laughed sharply.
Ignorance is your defense? How trite. You must see the truth, the fact that you should be dead.
It would be so much better for everyone if you were.
And for the record, said Cinder, her voice rising, I'm not a shell.
The queen smirked, unconvinced.
That's enough, said Kai. I don't care where she was born. Cinder is a citizen of the Commonwealth. I will not have her arrested.
Levana did not tear her gaze from Cinder.
Harboring a fugitive is grounds for war, young emperor. You know this.
Cinder's visibility dimmed as her retina cascaded a nonsensical diagram over her eyesight. She slammed her eyes shut, cursing. Now was not the time for a brain malfunction.
But perhaps, said the queen, we can reach some sort of a compromise.
Cinder opened her eyes. The darkened film remained. But the muddled diagram was gone. She focused on the queen just in time to see a cruel tilt of her lips.
This girl seems to think you love her, and here is your chance to prove it.
She coquettishly dipped her lashes.
So tell me, Your Majesty, are you prepared to bargain for her?
Chapter 36
Bargain, said Kai. For her life? Welcome to the world of true politics.
Levana took a sip of her wine. Despite her blood-red lips, no mark was left on the glass.
This is not the time or the place to be having this discussion, he said with a barely restrained growl.
Isn't it? It seems to me that this discussion involves every being in this room. After all, you want peace. You want to keep your citizenry safe. They are both admirable goals.
Her gaze slid to Cinder.
You also want to save this hapless creature. So be it.
Cinder's heart thudded, her eyesight flickering as she refocused it on Kai.
And you?
Said Kai.
I want to be Empress.
Cinder squirmed against the guard.
Kai, no, you can't do it.
He turned back to her. His eyes were turbulent.
It won't make a difference, Cinder said. You know it won't. Silence her, ordered Levana.
The guard clamped a hand over her mouth, pulling her hard against his chest, but he could not keep her eyes from pleading.
Don't do it. I'm not worth it. You know that.
Kai paced to the doorway. He gazed out at the raging storm for a moment, shoulders quaking, before he turned and swept his gaze over the ballroom. The ocean of color, silk and taffeta, gold and pearls, the frightened, confused faces around him. The annual ball, 126 years of world peace. He released a strangled breath and pulled his shoulders taut.
I thought I'd made my decision quite clear. Only hours ago, I told my country that I would do anything to keep them safe. Anything at all.
He opened both palms, pleading toward the queen.
I acknowledge readily that you are more powerful than all earthen kingdoms combined,
and I have no desire to test our forces against yours. I also recognize that I am ignorant in the ways of your culture and your people, and I cannot condemn you for the way you have governed them. I trust you have always had the best interests of your people at heart." He met Cinder's gaze. His shoulders became rigid. "But it is not the way that I will have the Commonwealth governed. We must have peace, but not at the expense of freedom. I cannot, I will not marry you." The air sucked out of the room, low, rushed whispers scattering in the crowd. Relief swelled in Cinder, but it was squashed when Kai met her gaze, and he could not have looked more miserable. He mouthed, simply, "I'm sorry." She wished she could tell him it was all right. She understood. This was the decision she'd wanted him to make from the start, and nothing would change that. She was not worth starting a war over. Lavanna's lips were pinched, her face static but for the slow drawing back of her ears, the almost imperceptible clenching of her jaw. Cinder's retina scanner flickered madly in the corner of her sight, scrolling through numbers and bits of data, but she ignored it like she would an annoying gnat. "You have made your decision?" "Yes," said Kai. "The girl, the fugitive, will be held in our prison until your departure." He lifted his chin, as if reconciling himself to the decision. "I have meant no disrespect, Your Majesty. I do wish with all my heart that we can continue our discussions for an acceptable alliance." "We cannot," said Lavanna, the glass in her hand shattered, sending bits of crystal cascading to the hard floor. Cinder jumped. A chorus of screams burst from the crowd as they drew back. But the Lunar Guard seemed immune to the outburst. "My requirements were made quite clear to your father, as they have been made quite clear to you, and you are a fool to deny them." She tossed the glass's thin stem at the column. Wine dribbled from her fingertips. "Do you insist on denying my requests? Your Majesty, answer the question." Cinder's retina scanner lit up, as if a spotlight had been dropped down on the queen. She gasped. Her knees collapsed, and she slumped against the guard, who jerked her back upright. She shut her eyes, sure she was imagining things, then opened them again. The diagram realigned. Lines pinpointing the exact angles of Lavanna's face. Coordinates showing the placement of her eyes, the length of her nose, the width of her brow. A perfect illustration overlaid the perfect woman, and they were not the same. Cinder was still gawking at the queen, trying to make sense of the lines and angles that her scanner was showing her, when she realized that the arguing had ceased. Her reaction had been so abrupt that everyone's attention had returned to her. "Stars," she whispered. Her scanner was seeing beyond the illusion. Unscathed by the lunar glamour, it knew where the true boundaries of the queen's face were, the imperfections, the inconsistencies. "It really is an illusion. You're not beautiful." The queen paled. The world seemed to have frozen around the diagrams in Cinder's gaze, the tiny points and measurements revealing the queen's greatest secret. She could still see the queen's glamour, her high cheekbones and full lips, but the effect was hidden beneath the truth of the diagram. The longer she stared, the more data her display gathered, gradually filling in Lavanna's true features. She was so entranced with the slow revealing that she didn't notice Lavanna curling her long fingers at her side. It was not until an electric current seemed to shimmer in the air that Cinder snapped her focus away from the scribblings in her vision. The queen flexed her fingers. The guard pulled away, releasing Cinder's wrists. Planting her feet, Cinder barely caught herself from toppling forward, at the same time that her hand reached back, as if with a mind of its own, and snatched the gun from the guard's holster. She stiffened, feeling the heavy gun so abruptly, unexpectedly, in her steel hand. Her finger slipped over the trigger, as if it were an extension of her. The gun felt comfortable in her palm, but it shouldn't have.
She'd never held one before. Her heart thudded. Cinder lifted the gun, pressing the barrel against her own temple. A shuddering cry escaped her. A strand of hair clung to her parched lips. Her eyes darted to the left, unable to see the gun or the traitorous hand holding it. She looked at the queen, the crowd, Kai. Her whole body was shaking, but for the confident arm holding the gun poised to kill her.
No! Leave her alone!
Kai rushed for her, grasping her elbow. He tried to yank it away, but she was immobilized, solid as a statue.
Let her go!
Kai, she stammered, terror seizing her. She urged her hand to drop the gun, urged her finger to pull away from the trigger, but it was useless. She squeezed her eyes shut. Her head throbbed. Increasing levels of adrenaline. Cortisone, glucose, heart rate increasing, blood pressure increasing. Warning, warning. Her finger twitched, briefly, then solidified again. She imagined what the gun would sound like. She imagined the blood. She imagined her brain shutting down, feeling nothing. Bioelectrical manipulation detected. Initializing resistance procedure in 3, 2. Her finger slowly, slowly pulled down on the trigger. Fire exploded in her spine, racing along her nerves and wires, slithering down the metal braces in her limbs. Cinder screamed and forced the gun away from her head, arm straight, barrel pointed at the ceiling. She stopped fighting it, pulled the trigger. A chandelier shattered above her, glass and crystal and sparks. The crowd screamed and surged for the exit. Cinder crumpled to her knees and doubled over, cradling the gun against her stomach. Pain tore through her, blinding her. Fireworks burst in her head. It felt as if her body were trying to dispel all her cyborg parts. Explosions and sparks and smoke tearing at her flesh. Kai's voice over the tumult in her ears made her realize that the pain was subsiding. She felt hot to the touch, like someone had thrown her into a kiln, but the pain and heat had moved to her exterior, to her skin and fingertips, rather than eating her up inside. She opened her eyes. White dots speckled her gaze. Her display was flashing red warnings. Diagnostics scrolled through the corner of her vision. Her temperature was too high. Her heart rate too high. Her blood pressure too high. Some foreign substance had invaded her blood that her system did not recognize and could not dispel. Something is wrong. Her programming screamed at her, "You are sick, you are ill, you are dying." But she did not feel like she was dying. Her body felt so hot, she was surprised she didn't incinerate the fragile dress. Sweat sizzled on her brow. She felt different. Strong. Powerful. On fire. Shaking, she sat back on her heels and stared at her hands. The left glove had started to melt, forming patches of gooey, silky skin on her white-hot metal hand. She could see electricity sizzling across the steel surface, but she couldn't tell if it was her human or cyborg eyes detecting it. Or maybe not human. Not cyborg. Lunar. She raised her head. The world was covered in a cool gray mist, as if everything had frozen, except for her. Her body was beginning to cool, her skin paling, her metal dulling. She tried to cover her metal hand stupidly, in case Kai had been too blinded by the flash to notice it. She caught the queen's eye. Lavanna's rage seemed to hiccup when their gazes met. The queen gasped and drew back a step. For a moment, she looked almost afraid. "Impossible," she whispered. Cinder called forth every nanobyte of strength she possessed in order to stand, and pointed the gun at the queen. She pulled the trigger. The red-haired guard was there. The bullet hit him in the shoulder. Lavanna didn't even flinch. Cinder's brain caught up with her body as blood dripped over the guard's armor. Cinder dropped the gun and ran, knowing the frenzied crowd was impenetrable. She barreled toward the nearest exit, the massive doors that led into the gardens. Past the guard, past the queen, past her entourage, glass crunching beneath her stolen boots. The hollow echo of the stone patio,
a puddle splashing onto her legs, the fresh, cool smell of rain that had turned to a drizzle. The stairway stretched before her, 12 steps and a Zen garden, a towering wall, a gate, the city, escape. On the fifth step, she heard the bolt snap. The wires tore loose, like tendons stretched the max. She felt the loss of power at the base of her calf, sending a blinding warning signal up to her brain. She fell, screaming, and tried to block her fall with her left hand. A shock of pain jolted up her shoulder and into her spine. Metal clattered against stone as she crashed down to the gravel pathway. She lay sprawled on her side. Holes frayed her glove where she'd tried to catch her fall. Blood stained the beautiful cream-colored silk over her right elbow. She struggled to breathe. Her head felt suddenly heavy, and she let it slump against the ground, little pebbles digging into her scalp. Her roaming eyes squinted up at the sky, where the storm had fizzled out but for a foggy mist that clung to Cinder's hair and lashes, refreshing against her hot skin. The full moon sought to break through the cloud cover, burning a slow hole above her as it planned to swallow up the whole sky. Movement drew her eye back to the ballroom. The guard who had been holding her reached the stairs and froze. Kai was beside him a second later and screeched to a halt, grasping the railing to stop himself. His eyes drank her in, a gleam of metal fingers, the wire sparking at the end of her battered metal leg. His jaw fell, and he looked momentarily as if he might be sick. More pounding at the top of the stairs. The man and the woman appeared in their thaumaturge uniforms, and the guard she'd shot, undeterred by his oozing wound. Kai's advisor, and finally, Queen Levana herself. Her glamour had returned full force, but all her beauty could not hide the fury contorting her features. Gathering her sparkling skirt in both hands, she moved to stomp down the steps toward Cinder, but the Lady Thaumaturge stopped her with a gentle hand and gestured up to the wall of the palace. Cinder followed the movement. A security camera was on them, on her, seeing everything. The last remnants of strength fled from Cinder, leaving her exhausted and weak. Kai crept down the stairs, as if sneaking up on a wounded animal. Stooping, he picked up the rusted cyborg foot that had fallen out of the velvet boot. His jaw flexed as he studied it, perhaps recognizing it from the day they'd met at the market. He would not look at her. Levana's lip curled. "Disgusting," she said from the doorway, safely hidden from the camera's view. Her words were loud and unnaturally forced compared to her usual lilting voice. "Death would be merciful." "She wasn't a shell after all," said Sybil Mira. "How did she hide it?" Levana sneered. "It matters not. She'll be dead soon enough. Jason?" The blonde guard descended a single step toward Cinder. He was holding his gun again, the one Cinder had dropped. "Wait!" Kai stole down the remaining stairs until he stood on the pathway before her. It seemed he had to force himself to meet her gaze, and he flinched at first. Cinder could not read him, the ever-changing mix of disbelief and confusion and regret. His chest was heaving. He tried to speak twice before words would come, quiet words that would never leave Cinder's head. "Was it all an illusion?" he asked. Pain lanced through her chest, squeezing the air out of her. "Kai? Was it all in my head? A lunar trick?" Her stomach twisted. "No," she shook her head, fervently. How to explain that she hadn't had the gift before? That she couldn't have used it against him? "I would never lie." The words faded. She had lied. Everything he knew about her had been a lie. "I'm so sorry," she finished, the words falling lamely in the open air. Kai peeled his eyes away, finding some place of resignation off in the glistening garden. "You're even more painful to look at than she is." Cinder's heart shriveled inside her until she was sure it would stop beating altogether. She reached her hand to her cheek,
feeling the damp silk against her skin. Setting his jaw, Kai turned back to the queen. Cinder stared up at the back of his crimson shirt, with the peaceful turtle doves embroidered along the collar. One hand still clutched her cyborg foot.
"She will be taken into custody," he said, with little strength behind his words. "She will be imprisoned until we can decide what to do with her. But if you kill her tonight, I swear I will never agree to any alliance with Luna."
The queen's glare darkened. Even if she agreed, Cinder would eventually be given back to the moon. And as soon as Levana had her in her power, a noose would be put around her neck. Kai was buying her time, but probably not much. What she couldn't fathom was why. Cinder watched the queen fight with her temper, knowing she could kill both her and Kai in a blink.
"She will be my prisoner," Levana finally conceded. "She will be returned to Luna and tried under our judicial system."
Translation: she would die.
"I understand," said Kai. "In return, you will agree not to wage war against my country or planet."
Levana tilted her head up, looking down her nose at him.
"Agreed. I will not wage war against Earth for this infraction. But I would tread lightly, young Emperor. You have tried my patience greatly this night."
Kai took in a single breath, dipped his head at her, and then stepped aside as the lunar guards trudged down the steps. They lifted Cinder's broken body off the gravel path. She tried her best to stand, peering at Kai, wishing she could have just one moment to tell him how sorry she was, one breath to explain. But he didn't look at her as she was dragged past him. His eyes were locked on the dirty steel foot clasped in both hands, his fingertips white from gripping it too hard. Chapter 37. She lay on her back, listening to the steady tapping of her metal fingers against the white resin floor of her white resin prison cell. Of all the thoughts that should have been taking up her mind, a single moment seemed captured in her thoughts, stuck on endless repeat. Market day, the humid air, the smell of Chang Sasha's sweet rolls permeating the city square. Before any of this had happened, before Peony had gotten sick, before Levana had come to Earth, before Kai had asked her to the ball, she was just a mechanic, and he was the prince with all the charms she pretended to be immune to. And he was there, before her, while she tottered on a single foot and tried to calm her rapidly beating heart. How she could barely meet his gaze. How he leaned forward, forced her to see him, smiled. There. That moment. That smile. Again, and again, and again. Cinder sighed and changed the tempo of her tapping fingers. The net was rife with vids from the ball. She had watched exactly 4.2 seconds of the footage via her netlink, her in her dirty ball gown tumbling down the steps before shutting it off. The footage made her look like a madwoman. Surely every human on Earth would bid her good riddance when Queen Levana claimed her and took her back to Luna for her trial. She heard the guard's footsteps, muffled on the other side of the cell door. Everything around her was white, including the brilliantly bleached cotton jumpsuit they'd put her in when she'd been forced to discard Peony's destroyed gown, and the bits of silk glove that hadn't already been melted or ripped away. They hadn't yet bothered to turn out the eye-straining lights either, leaving her restless and exhausted. She was beginning to wonder if it would be a relief when the queen came for her, if maybe she would at least be allowed a moment's sleep. And she'd only been there for 14 hours, 33 minutes, and 16 seconds. 17 seconds. 18. The door clunked, startling her. She squinted at the tiny window that had opened up in the door, seeing the shadow of a man's head on the iron gate, the back of his head. None of the guards would look at her.
"You have a visitor."
She propped herself up on her elbows. "The Emperor?" The guard snorted.
"Yeah, right."
His shadow disappeared from the grate.
Kindly open the door if you would, said a familiar voice in a familiar accent. I must speak with her in private.
Cinder climbed to her one foot, leaning against the glass smooth wall.
She's under top security, said the guard. I can't let you go in. You must speak with her through the grate. Don't be ridiculous. Do I look like a threat to security?
Cinder hopped to the window and bounced on her toes. It was Dr. Erland, holding a pale linen bag. He still wore his lab coat, with the tiny silver spectacles on his nose and wool hat on his head. Though he had to crane his head back to meet the guard's eye, his stance was undaunted.
I am the leading scientist of the Royal Lethemosis Research Team, said Dr. Erland, and this girl is my prime test subject. I require blood samples from her before she leaves the planet.
He whipped a syringe out of the bag. The guard staggered back in surprise before folding his arms over his chest.
I have my orders, sir. You'll have to obtain an official release from the Emperor to be allowed entrance.
Dr. Erland let his shoulder slump and tucked the syringe back into the bag.
All right, if that's protocol, I understand.
But instead of turning away, he fiddled with the cuffs of his sleeves, his expression momentarily darkening, before he flashed another grin at the guard.
There, you see?
He said, his voice sending an odd ripple down Cinder's spine. The doctor continued, the cadence of his words as soothing as a song.
I have obtained the necessary release from the Emperor.
He swooped his hands toward the cell door.
You may open the door.
Cinder blinked, as if to clear cobwebs from her mind. It seemed Dr. Erland meant to get himself arrested as well, but then the guard turned toward her with a dazed expression and swiped his ID before the scanner. The door opened. Cinder stumbled back, catching herself on the wall.
Thank you kindly, said the doctor, entering the cell without turning his back on the guard. I'll ask that you give us a bit of privacy. I won't be but a minute.
The guard shut the door without argument. His footsteps echoed off down the corridor. Dr. Erland turned around and snatched a breath when his bright blue eyes fell on Cinder. His lips parted momentarily before he turned his head away and squeezed his eyes shut. When he opened them again, the look of amazement had softened over his features.
If there were ever any doubt, it is gone now. It may do you good to practice controlling your glamour.
Cinder pressed a hand against her cheek. I'm not doing anything. The doctor cleared his throat uncomfortably.
Don't worry, you'll get the hang of it.
He cast his gaze around the cell.
Quite the predicament you've gotten yourself into, isn't it?
Cinder lifted her finger toward the door.
You have to teach me that trick.
It would be an honor, Miss Lin. It's really quite simple. Focus your thoughts, twist your subject's thoughts toward you, and clearly state your intent. Internally, of course.
Cinder frowned.
It didn't sound simple at all.
The doctor waved away the look.
Don't worry, you'll find it comes quite naturally when you need it. But we haven't time for lessons. I must be quick before anyone's suspicions are raised.
My suspicions are raised.
He ignored her, his gaze sweeping down Cinder's form. The white jumper, bulky and loose over her slender frame. The metal hand dinged and scratched from her fall. The multicolored wires that dangled from her cuffed pant leg.
You've lost your foot.
Yeah, I noticed.
How's Kai? What, aren't you going to ask how I am?
You look fine, she said. Better than usual, actually.
It was true. The fluorescent light of the cell took 10 years off his features. Or more likely, she realized, it was the lingering effects from using his lunar gift on the guard.
But how is he? Confused, I think, the doctor shrugged. I do believe he was a bit smitten with you. To find out you were, well, it was a lot to take in, I'm sure.
Cinder ran a frustrated hand through her hair, tangled from 14 hours of nervously bunching it up in her fists. Levana forced him to choose, either marry her or hand me over. Otherwise, she said she would declare war based on some law about harboring lunars.
It seems he made the right decision. He will be a fine ruler.
That's not the point. Levana won't be satisfied with his decision for long.
Of course not. Nor would she have let you live for long had he chosen the marriage.
She very much wants you dead, more than you realize, which is why she must believe that Kai has done everything in his power to keep you confined and is willing to give you over to her as soon as she returns to the moon. Which won't be long now, I think. Otherwise, there could be some horrible consequences for him and the Commonwealth.
Cinder squinted at him. It seems to me like he is doing everything he can to keep me confined.
Indeed, he twiddled his thumbs. That complicates matters, doesn't it?
What do you...
Why don't we sit? You cannot be comfortable standing on one foot like that.
Dr. Erland sank down onto the cell's single cot. Cinder slid down the wall opposite him.
How is your hand?
Fine, she flexed her metal fingers. The joint on my pinky is busted, but it could be worse. Oh, and hey, she gestured at her temple. No hole in my head, I'm still happy about that.
Yes, I've heard how the Queen attacked you. It was your cyborg programming that saved you, wasn't it?
Cinder shrugged. I guess so. I received some message about bioelectrical manipulation right before I... I'd never gotten that message before, not even around your glamour.
It was the first time a Lunar had made you do something, other than simply believe or feel something, and it seems your programming worked just as it was meant to. Another impressive decision by your surgeon, or perhaps it was Lynn Garen's prototype that did it. Either way, Levana must have been caught quite off guard. Although I suspect the firework display you put on may not have endeared you to many Earthens.
I didn't know how to control it. I didn't know what was happening. She pulled her knees up to her chest. It's probably a good thing I'm in here. There's nowhere out there I would fit in, not after that. She gestured to some non-existent place beyond the white walls. Good thing Levana's going to put me out of my misery.
Is she, Miss Lynn?
That's a shame. I was hoping you would have inherited more gumption from our people. Sorry, I seem to have lost my gumption when my foot fell off during a live net feed. The doctor wrinkled his nose at her.
You worry so much about such silly things.
Silly? Dr. Erland smirked.
I came down here for a very important reason, you know, and we haven't got all day.
Right, Cinder grumbled as she rolled up her sleeve and extended her arm toward him. Take as much blood as you want. I won't be needing it. Dr. Erland patted her elbow.
That was a ruse. I'm not here for blood samples. There will be Lunars in Africa to test if I need them.
Cinder let her arm sink back into her lap.
Africa? Yes, I'm going to Africa.
When?
In about 3 minutes.
There is much work to be done, and it will be difficult to complete it in a jail cell. So I've decided to go where the first cases of letamosis were documented, in a small town east of the Sahara Desert. He spun his fingers through the air, as if gesturing in an invisible map.
I hope to find some carrier hosts and convince them to become a part of my research.
Cinder unrolled her sleeve. So, why are you here?
To invite you to join me there, when it's convenient, of course.
Cinder scowled. Gee, thanks, Doc. I'll check my calendar to see when I'll be available again.
I hope you will, Miss Lynn. Here, I have a gift for you. 2 gifts, in fact.
Dr. Erland reached into the bag and pulled out a metal hand and a metal foot, both gleaming beneath the bright lights. Cinder's eyebrows shot up.
State of the art, said Dr. Erland, fully accessorized, plated with 100% titanium. And look!
Like a child with a new toy, he fidgeted with the hand's fingers, revealing a hidden flashlight, a stiletto knife, a projectile gun, a screwdriver, and a universal connector cable.
It's a pillar of usefulness, and the tranquilizer darts are stored in here.
He opened a compartment on the palm, revealing a dozen skinny darts.
Once your wiring synchronizes, you should be able to load it with a simple thought.
That's fantastic. Now when I'm on the chopping block, I can at least take a few bystanders down with me.
Exactly,
he chuckled. Cinder frowned, irritated, but Dr. Erland was too busy ogling the prosthesis to notice.
I had them made especially for you. I used your body scan to make sure I had the right dimensions. If I'd had more time, I could have done a skin graft, but we can't have everything, I suppose.
Cinder took the parts when he handed them to her, inspecting their craftsmanship with trepidation.
Don't let the guards see those, or I really will be in trouble, he said.
Thanks. I sure am excited to wear them for the last 2 days of my life. With a sly grin, Dr. Erlon cast his gaze around the small cell.
Funny, isn't it? So much advancement, so much technology, but even the most complicated security systems aren't designed with lunar cyborgs in mind.
I guess it's a good thing there aren't many of you around, or we might have a reputation for jailbreaks.
What? Are you crazy? Cinder said, voice dropping to a harsh whisper. Are you suggesting that I should try to escape?
In fact, I am a little bit crazy these days.
Dr. Erland scratched at his lined cheek.
Can't be helped. All that bioelectricity with nowhere to go, nothing to do.
He sighed whimsically.
But no, Miss Lin, I am not suggesting you should try to escape. I am saying you must escape, and you must do it soon. Your chances for survival will drop drastically once Levana comes for you.
Cinder leaned back against the wall, sensing the start of a headache.
Look, I appreciate that you care about me, I really do, but even if I could find a way out of here, do you realize how livid Levana would be? You yourself said there will be horrible consequences if she doesn't get what she wants. I am not worth starting a war over.
His eyes brightened behind the spectacles. He looked young for a moment, almost giddy.
Actually, you are.
She cocked her head, squinting at him. Maybe he really was mad.
I tried to tell you when you were in my office last week, but you had to run off to see your sister. Ah, I am sorry about your sister, by the way.
Cinder bit the inside of her cheek.
Anyway, you see, I had your DNA sequenced. It informed me not only that you are lunar, not only that you are not a shell, but also something of your heritage, your bloodline.
Cinder's heartbeat quickened.
My family?
Yes.
And do I have one? My parents, are they?
She hesitated. Dr. Erlon's eyes had saddened at her outburst.
Are they dead?
He pulled his hat off.
I am sorry, Cinder. I should have gone about this in a better way. Yes, your mother is dead. I do not know who your father is, or if he's alive. Your mother was, shall we say, known for her promiscuity.
She felt her hope shrivel.
Oh. And you have an aunt.
An aunt? Dr. Erland squeezed the hat in both hands.
Yes, it's Queen Levana.
Cinder blinked at him.
My dear girl, you are Princess Selene.
Chapter 38. Silence filled the sterile white air between Cinder and Dr. Erland, filled the fogginess in Cinder's head. The confusion did not leave her face.
What?
The doctor reached forward and put his hand over Cinder's.
You are Princess Selene.
She jerked away from him.
I don't... What?
I know, it seems unbelievable.
No, it seems... That's impossible. Why would you joke about this?
He smiled softly and patted her hand again, which is when Cinder realized that her vision was clear. No orange light was plaguing her. The breath left her. Her gaze fell to the empty wires poking out from her ankle.
I know it will take time for you to come to terms with this, said Dr. Erland, and I wish I could be here to help you through it, and I will. I will tell you everything you need to know when you get to Africa, but now it is imminent that you understand why you cannot let Levana take you. You are the only one who can dethrone her. Do you understand?
She shook her head, dazed.
Princess, don't call me that.
Dr. Erland wrung the hat in his lap.
All right, Miss Lin, listen to me. I have been searching for you for so many years. On Luna, I knew the man who brought you to Earth and performed your surgery. I tracked him down in an attempt to find you, but by then he'd already started to lose his mind. All I could get out of him was that you are somewhere here, in the Commonwealth. I knew I was looking for a cyborg, a teenager, and yet
There were so many times when I thought I would go crazy myself before finding you. Before being able to tell you the truth. And then, you were there, suddenly in my lab. A miracle.
Cinder raised a hand, cutting him off.
Why? Why did they make me a cyborg? Because your body was too badly damaged in the fire, he said, as if the answer were obvious. Your limbs could not have been rescued. It's amazing you're able to survive at all, and that you've managed to stay hidden for all these... Stop. Just stop.
Cinder flexed her beat-up prosthetic hand before folding it around the fingers of the brand new limb the doctor had brought her. Her eyes darted around the cell, her breath coming in short gasps. She shut her eyes as a wave of dizziness washed over her.
She was... The draft, she whispered. You set up the draft to find me. A cyborg in the Eastern Commonwealth.
Dr. Erlon stirred, and when she dared to look up again, guilt had filled his eyes.
We've all had to make sacrifices, but if Lavanna isn't stopped...
Releasing the new prosthesis, Cinder covered her ears and buried her face against her knee.
The draft. All those cyborgs. So many people convinced that it was the right thing, that it was better them than humans.
Once a science project, always a science project. And he'd only wanted to find her.
Cinder, I'm going to be sick.
Dr. Erlond pressed a hand to her shoulder, but she shook it off.
Nothing that has happened is your fault, he said. And now I've found you. We can begin to make it right again.
How can I make anything right? Lavanna's going to kill me. Gasping, Cinder lifted her head.
Wait, does she know?
Her memory answered her first. Lavanna at the top of the stairs, frightened. Furious. She hid her face again.
Oh, my stars. She does know.
Your glamour is unique, Cinder. So much like Queen Chanary's. Lavanna would have known right away who you are, although I doubt anyone else figured it out yet, and Lavanna will try to keep it hidden as long as she can. Of course, she will waste no time in killing you. I am sure they are planning their departure even at this moment.
Cinder's mouth grew dry.
Look at me, Cinder.
She obeyed. And though the doctor's eyes were breathtakingly blue and filled with pity and almost even comforting, she somehow knew that he was not doing anything to manipulate her mind. This was just an old man who was determined to dethrone Queen Lavanna. An old man who had somehow placed all his hopes on her.
Does Kai know?
She whispered. Dr. Erlond shook his head sadly.
I cannot approach him so long as Lavanna is present, and this is not something I can send via a comm. She will have taken you before I have a chance to see him. Besides, what could he do?
If he knew, he would release me, and risk Lavanna turning her wrath against his entire country?
Lavanna would find a way to kill you long before you had any hope of taking back the throne. Kai would be a fool to do something so rash, not without a plan.
But he deserves to know. He's been looking for her, for... He was looking for...
Many people have been looking for you. But finding you and being able to reinstate you as queen are two very different goals. I have planned this moment for a long time. I can help you.
Cinder gawked at him as panic gripped her lungs.
Reinstate me as queen?
The doctor cleared his throat.
I understand you are frightened right now and confused. Do not think too much. All I am asking is that you find a way out of this prison. I know you can do that. Then, come to Africa. I will guide you through the rest. Please, we cannot let Lavanna win.
She couldn't respond. Couldn't even begin to fathom what he was asking of her.
A princess? An heir?
She shook her head.
No, I can't. I can't be a queen or a princess or... I'm nobody. I'm a cyborg.
Dr. Erlond folded his hands together.
If you won't let me help you, Cinder, then she will have already won, won't she? Soon, Queen Lavanna will take you away,
She will find the way to marry Kai and become Empress. She will wage war against the Earthen Union, and, I have no doubt, be victorious. Many will die. The rest will become slaves, just like us Lunars. It is a sad fate, but unavoidable, I suppose, if you are not willing to accept who you truly are.
That isn't fair. You can't just throw this on me and expect me to be able to do anything about it.
I don't, Miss Lin. All I expect is for you to find a way out of this prison and come meet me in Africa.
She stared at him, mouth agape, as those words gradually seeped into her brain. Escape from prison, go to Africa. It seemed almost simple when he said it like that. The doctor must have seen something change in her face, for he lightly tapped her wrist again, then stood with the groans of old joints growing older.
I believe in you, he said as he reached the doorway and rapped on the grate. And whether or not he knows it right now, Kai believes in you too.
The cell door opened. Dr. Erlan tipped his hat to her, and he was gone. Cinder waited until two sets of footsteps had ricocheted down the corridor before shuddering and collapsing over her knees, folding her hands over her ears. Her brain was downloading information faster than she could sort it. Old articles about the princess's disappearance, interviews with conspiracy theorists, images of the scorched rubble of the nursery where her burned flesh had been found, dates, statistics, the transcript of Levana's coronation as the crown passed to her, next in line for the throne. Princess Celine's birth date, 21 December 109 TE. She was almost a month younger than she'd always believed. It was a small fact, an insignificant fact, and yet, for a moment she had the distinct impression that she had no idea who she was anymore, no clue who she was supposed to be. And then came the cyborg draft. All the names of those who had been drawn flashed before her, their pictures, their ID numbers, their birth dates, the dates they'd been pronounced dead, honorably, for their sacrifice for the good of the Commonwealth. She heard a clock ticking inside her head. Cinder's breath came in jagged gasps as the information flooded her brain. Panic churned in her stomach. Bile seeped into her mouth, burning as she swallowed it down. Queen Levana would come for her, and she would be executed. That was her fate. She'd been resolved to it. She'd been prepared for it. Not to be an heir. Not to be a queen or a savior or a hero. It would be so simple to let it happen. So simple not to fight back. Amid the jumbled information clattering through her head, her thoughts landed again on that same quiet moment captured in time. Kai's carefree smile at the market. Huddling in a ball, Cinder cut off the netlink. The noise silenced. The images and videos snipped to black. If she didn't try to stop Levana, what would happen to Kai? Though she tried to block out the question, it continued to plague her, echoing in her thoughts. Maybe Dr. Erland was right. Maybe she had to run. Maybe she had to try. She felt for the prosthetic limbs in her lap and wrapped her hands around them. Lifting her head, she looked up at the grate in the prison door. The guard had never closed it. A tingle passed down her spine. A strange new electricity was thrumming beneath her skin, telling her she wasn't just a cyborg anymore. She was Lunar now. She could make people see things that weren't there, feel things they shouldn't feel, do things they didn't mean to do. She could be anyone. Become anyone. The thought both sickened and frightened her, but the resolve made her calm again. When the guard returned, she would be ready. As her hand stopped shaking, she slid the stiletto knife out from the new titanium-plated finger and maneuvered the blade against her wrist. The cut was still fresh where she'd started to remove her ID chip before, so they would not be able to track her. This time, there was no hesitation. Soon, the whole world would be searching for her. Lin Cinder. A deformed cyborg with a missing foot. A lunar with a stolen identity. A mechanic with no one to run to, nowhere to go. But they would be looking for a ghost.
We hope you've enjoyed Cinder, a Macmillan audiobook from Fywell and Friends. Text copyright 2012 by Marissa Meyer. Production copyright 2012 by Macmillan Audio. All rights reserved.